Why put birds on the ark, as the Bible says? The reason Noah did that is because this whole world was underwater at one time, just like the Bible teaches. Look at Genesis 7, verses 19 through 23. And tell me if you think this is talking about a global flood or a local flood. They, that's the floodwaters, rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heaven were covered. Every living thing that moved on the earth perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all of mankind, everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. Men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and the birds of the air were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. Does that sound like a local event or a global event? Sounds pretty global to me. Here is a commentator named Leupold, and he writes this concerning Genesis 7, verse 19. All the high mountains under all the heavens. One of these expressions alone would almost necessitate the impression that the author intends to convey the idea of absolute universality of the flood. Yet since all is known to be used in a relative sense, the writer removes all ambiguity by adding the phrase under all the heavens. A double all is what you have there in Hebrew. A double all cannot not allow for so relative a sense. It almost constitutes a Hebrew superlative. A superlative is saying the highest. It's like saying the holy of holies. Not just a holy place, but the holiest place. The Lord of Lords. Not just the Lord, but the ultimate Lord of Lords. That's what's meant by a Hebrew superlative. And that's what Leupold is saying here. This is a Hebrew superlative. He goes on and he says that, so we believe that this text disposes of the question of the universality of the flood. And he kind of goes on and has some other interesting things to say in that quote. But the language itself is very clear with the double all in Genesis 7:19, that the entire world was underwater at one time through God's global judgment. To think in a uniformitarian way is simply not to be biblical. God gave Job a pop quiz. How would you like a pop quiz from God? God speaks in Job 38. See, through the whole book of Job, all these other guys are speaking, giving human wisdom. Finally, God speaks. And He gives Job a series of questions to reveal how little Job knows. Everybody is pontificating about Job's problems through their own finite human understanding. And when God finally talks, Job 38 and following, He is asking him questions designed to reveal his ignorance. And do you recall the very first question that God asked Job? Where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? The exact words are, Job 38, 4 through 7, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements? Since you know, being sarcastic. Or who stretched the line on it? Or on what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all of the sons of God shouted for joy? He's asking him questions about creation because God knows Job can't answer the question because Job wasn't there. Neither were you. Neither was I. Neither were these so-called scientists today. Nobody was there but God. And you either make a decision that you're going to take God's word for it or trust your five senses. See? Anybody remember what's in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith? You remember the very first entry in the Hall of Faith? Who's mentioned first? Creation is mentioned first. Hebrews 11 is a record of all of these men and women of God that walked with God and trusted God through great odds. And the very first entry in the Hall of Faith, even before it gets to all of that, is creation. Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible." The very first way we exercise faith in God is by trusting His account of creation, which is the exact opposite of uniformitarianism. The uniformitarian is trusting their five senses and pretending that processes they can see in front of them have always been and will always be. So to be uniformitarian is simply not to be scriptural. In fact, did you know, looking at this chart here, that this world that we're living in has been changed dramatically 3 times? Would you not agree that the created world is different than our world? Genesis 1 and 2 is totally different than what we're experiencing today. Genesis 1 and 2, there's no death. When the fall happened, Genesis 3, this world was dramatically changed. Death entered the picture. Genesis 3 through 6 is essentially a record of the fall of man. Pregnancy becomes difficult. Man has to now work by the sweat of his brow. Yet, people were still living into their 900s. Methuselah lived to what age? The ripe old age of 969. And there was no human government yet. So with the flood, Genesis 7 through 10, the world has changed again. Lifespans become shorter after the flood. Human government comes into existence. But that world was still very different than our world. There was one language, and there was no such thing as separate nations. Then everything dramatically changed there with number 4 at the Tower of what? Babel, Genesis 11. And that's where global government is dispersed. Multiple languages, nations, and ethnicities come into existence. And the reason I have number 4 underlined is that's the world that we're living in. We're living in the post-Babel world. So you'll notice that the world that we are living in has been altered already dramatically 3 times. Now, I believe that because I trust the Bible. But if I trusted my 5 senses and pretended that what I can see has always been, I would never have this understanding. Now guess what? The world that we're living in now, number 4, is going to be changed 3 more times dramatically. One of these days the rapture will occur, amen, hopefully sooner than later. And then global government will come back into existence, the restrainer will be removed. The Antichrist will have his heyday in the tribulation. But that world will be changed again because Jesus will return bodily at the end of the tribulation period and establish his kingdom upon the earth. Long lifespans will continue once again as they did prior to the flood. Kingdom conditions will enter. We'll be talking about the kingdom a lot this weekend. Death, though, will still be a reality for mortals in the millennial kingdom. Isaiah 65:20 tells us that. And the kingdom will exist on this earth, although this earth will be renovated. But after that 1,000-year kingdom, the world is going to be changed completely again. This world is going to be destroyed by what? Fire, and replaced by a new heavens, a new earth, a completely new earth, not a renovated one, and there won't be any death. So why put this chart up? This chart shows you how uniformitarianism is the exact opposite of the Bible. You cannot be a biblicist and assume that the world that we're in today has always been and will always be. This world has been altered 3 times dramatically. And guess what? It's going to be altered 3 more times. And you either trust the Bible when it teaches these things, or you don't.